Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we never quite got to the bottom line of what we were talking about on the broadcast yesterday and the day before. And so, Lord willing, today, that's what we're going to get to very quickly before we move along. But we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We are in the last half of the chapter where Solomon expands upon his statement that wisdom, acquiring wisdom, is one of those things that really will add value to your life. And then he goes on to give some examples and definition and expansion of this teaching about the value of wisdom in the last part of the chapter. And there are four sections in this last part, and the first one is what I've called wisdom concerning religion. And we've only taken up the very first concept in that section, and there's another one to go. But the puzzling statements of life, the puzzling happenings of life, such as when we see a godly person's life cut short and a wicked person who lives a long and many times, apparently, trouble-free and happy life. And that doesn't seem right, and Solomon deals with that here. And as you remember, Solomon basically says, this is not the norm. This is one of those strange things you see only from time to time. But in my long life, I have seen some strange things, and one of them is this. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. And that is one of those puzzling things. And we have actually worked our way through that one. So I'm not going to go back all the way through it again today, except just to touch on it quickly enough to bring us up to the bottom line that we need to learn from all of this. And so stay with me. That's where we're going on this Wednesday, November 4. And I deeply appreciate the financial help of those of you who value this teaching ministry sufficiently to help us maintain the cost of broadcasting on this station. So this unusual reversal that is not the norm, but it happens from time to time. The righteous man who dies young, the unrighteous person who lives a long and wicked life, and this seems to violate our sense of justice, and that is, in fact, a God-given sense of justice, and it seems to contradict some of the statements of Scripture. And so how do we deal with that? How are we to view that? What's the explanation for that? Is this one of those things for which there is no explanation? And I offered you two thoughts to help you put it all in perspective and to keep you from thinking that there's something terribly wrong going on here. And one is to remember that only God knows the heart. And because of that, there are people that appear to us to be righteous who, in fact, are not. And God knows that, and He's dealing with them. He's dealing with their sin. He's dealing with their hearts, trying to call them back to Himself, and they are not responding, and they're continuing to live in wicked hypocrisy, and rather than allow their hypocrisy to come to the light here in this world, He cuts their life off short, takes them out of this world. And we don't understand why. Why did that righteous person die young? Because They were actually a very wicked person acting hypocrisy, even to God, hypocritically. And if God had allowed them to live another year or two, there would have been another scandal in the Christian world. We have enough of those. We're ashamed of them. Another one. And God said, in this case, I'm not going to allow this to become a scandal, to besmirch the testimony of Christ. I'm just going to cut this person's life short. Now, that will explain it. And when we think about that possibility, then it makes perfect sense. We realize that in spite of what it seems to us, this is no violation of justice. This actually is God carrying out justice in the way that we would expect. It's just that God, being omniscient and knowing all things, knows some things about this situation that we don't know. But the second point that I gave you to make sense out of all of this is to remember that these promises, like long life for godly living, are general principles, but they're not absolutes. They're not intended to be absolutes. And we will misunderstand Scripture. We will misunderstand God's Word, God's will, God's ways, if we take general principles and believe that they ought to apply exactly in every situation, when God sometimes has entirely different purposes for, say, cutting short the life of a godly person. I can think of a young man in the early years of our church who had a wonderful testimony. And of course, again, I don't know his heart, but I cannot imagine that he would fit into the category of a sinful hypocrite. And I won't go into all the details, but if I told you about his life and circumstances, you would find that hard to believe as well. But he died at the age of 28 and left behind a wonderful legacy, a wonderful testimony of faith in Christ. And actually, it turned out he had a medical condition. The doctors had told his parents that he would not survive childhood. He wasn't really expected to live, I think, past the age of maybe 6 or something like that. And he lived, in that sense, when you look at it that way, he actually did live a long life. If, medically speaking, he should have died at age 6, and God mercifully extended his life to age 28, then he did live a long life for him, an unusually long life for him. So there are a lot of different ways of looking at it, but that's the whole point. These statements in Scripture, particularly these proverbial-type statements, are general principles, not absolutes, and you need to keep that in mind. Now we get to the bottom line of all of this. We're talking about wisdom. Wisdom concerning religion. Wisdom concerning our understanding of God and His ways. And this first one is what I've called wisdom in interpreting Scripture. And here we have an example of how some people have a mistaken notion of how things ought to be because they haven't studied the Bible very carefully. So if you see something like this that appears to be wrong, a righteous person dying young, a wicked person living long, what is your response? Are you going to charge God with injustice? Are you going to complain to God? Are you going to say, God, you've done something wrong. It's not supposed to be that way. You shouldn't allow it to be that way. You did something wrong. Well, before I pursue that thought a little bit further, let me stop and say, what makes you think it's wrong? Unless it's based upon a God-given sense of justice and a general understanding of the principles of God's Word. In other words, your whole concept of what is right and wrong comes from God, and now you're going to turn around and charge God, the very God who gave you this way of evaluating things, these principles to evaluate life. You're going to turn around and charge Him with injustice. That's not only not being godly, that's not even being very fair. If God hadn't blessed you with a mind to think and with a sense of justice, God-given justice, God-given righteousness that he placed within your heart, if God hadn't given you those things, if God hadn't given you some understanding of his word and of his will, in other words, if God hadn't given you some divine revelation, you wouldn't have the foggiest idea what's right and what's wrong. And you'd have no way to judge and evaluate these things at all. And we can see a lot of that in this world today, as God's word is being not only ignored and abandoned, but vehemently rejected, and people go their own way. We can see what happens when people ignore or reject or just never get exposed to the wisdom that comes from God and start picking out their own principles of right and wrong, which they've been taught to do in our modern world. Young people are taught, you've got to make your, you've got to choose your own principles of life, what you consider to be right and what you consider to be wrong. And the only thing that matters is that you be true to yourself. And your truth may not be somebody else's truth, but just be true to your own truth. Well, that's real helpful because, I mean, particularly if something comes along and you decide you don't want to be true to what you considered to be true before, there's no reason you can't change it. There's no absolutes. And so it's actually meaningless, this idea of being true to yourself, living up to your own truth. There is no truth but God's truth. If it's true, it came from God. And if it didn't come from God, it's not true. But here's the point. This kind of puzzling thing, why there's a righteous person who dies young and an unrighteous person who lives a long and wicked life, these things should not cause us to question or charge God. What they ought to cause us to do is to dig more deeply into Scripture so that we can learn how to understand God's word more correctly. We should automatically assume that the problem is in our understanding. The problem is not with the thrice holy God. That's the sinfulness of our heart, that we would even consider charging God. We who are sinful creatures. Number one, we're the creature, he's the creator. So there's a problem right there for the creature, the created thing, to start correcting and charging the one who created him. But number two, we are sinful creatures, not just neutral creatures, but sinful creatures. And he is the thrice holy God in whom it is impossible that there be any sin. There is no injustice with God. There is no sin with God. There is no error with God. We take that as an absolute, and then we say, all right, if I can't line these things up, if I can't line up what I'm observing here with what I know about God, then obviously the problem is I don't know enough about God. And so it ought to stimulate us to get into the Word of God, to learn more about God and his ways. This ought to give us more wisdom in interpreting Scripture. And we're talking about wisdom concerning religion. And this first area is wisdom about interpreting Scripture. If you will gain wisdom, if you'll cultivate wisdom, that's going to add great value to your life. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.